Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Today, we're really getting into something vital, privacy. We've been reading Rim and Wax, specifically his privacy, a very short introduction, and the bigger privacy text. And it really struck me just how urgent this feels right now. I mean, we talk about data breaches, big tech, all that stuff constantly, but Wax kind of pulls back the lens. He shows it's not just about secrets, it's fundamental.
I think it's deeper than just the latest headline.
Exactly. And it's under threat. Technology, corporations, scooping up data, state surveillance. It's a lot.
Absolutely. And Wax really sets out a mission for us and for you, the listener. The goal here is to understand what privacy really means today, like in the 21st century. Why it's so crucial for, well, human life, for democracy.
And what we can actually do about it.
Right. So this is kind of your shortcut to getting up to speed on one of the big struggles of our time, wouldn't you say?
Yes, definitely. Okay, so let's start with the person guiding us through this, Raymond Wax. Who is he?
He's a major figure, an eminent legal scholar, emeritus professor of law and legal theory at the University of Hong Kong, globally known for jurisprudence, legal philosophy. A real heavyweight.
So not just a tech commentator.
No, that's key. He's a jurist, a legal theorist first. He wrote foundational books like The Philosophy of Law. So he places today's digital problems into this much richer historical philosophical context. Centuries of thought, really.
That makes sense. It gives it weight.
And his analysis is incredibly broad. He understands common law, you know, US-UK systems, but also civil law traditions in Europe. So you get this really comprehensive picture of how different legal systems are trying and sometimes, well, failing to protect privacy.
Okay, so that deep background leads into his main argument, right?
Yes, and he's very clear. Privacy isn't some nice-to-have luxury. It's a fundamental human right, absolutely essential for autonomy, for dignity, for a democratic society to even function.
It's not just a shield for wrongdoers, which is an argument you hear sometimes.
Exactly. He tackles that head on. And crucially, he argues the old definition, you know, the right to be let alone from Warren and Brandeis back in 1890.
Yeah.
It's just not enough anymore. It's insufficient for the information age. I mean, if companies are tracking you quietly while you are technically let alone, what good is that definition?
Right. It doesn't capture the problem.
So Wax proposes a modern active concept. Control over personal information. That's the core.
Control. Meaning?
Meaning you get to decide who accesses your data, when, why, for what purpose. It's about informational self-determination. That's modern privacy.
Which brings us to that phrase everyone uses.
Yes. I have nothing to hide, so I have nothing to fear.
Wax really goes after that one, doesn't he?
He dismantles it systematically. He shows it's dangerously naive. He completely misses the point.
How so?
Because it's not about hiding things in a secretive sense. It's about losing control. It's about power. If you have nothing to hide, Wax argues, you still have everything to lose. Your autonomy, your dignity, your ability to be different in private versus public.
All right, let's dig into that philosophical foundation. Chapter 2, The Value of Privacy. He says it's a precondition for human dignity.
Exactly. You can't really develop as a person, be truly yourself, if you're constantly feeling watched, judged, analyzed.
And there are two sides to this value.
Right. Intrinsically, privacy allows for real intimacy, trust in relationships. You need that private space, free from scrutiny, to be vulnerable, to connect deeply.
You're chancing.
And instrumentally, it enables autonomy, self-development. It gives you the freedom to explore ideas, make choices, maybe even make mistakes, without that constant fear of judgment or repercussion. That's the chilling effect of surveillance he talks about.
And how does that link to democracy?
Well, think about it. If people know their conversations, their political views, even their search histories are being monitored, they're less likely to express dissenting opinions, right?
Yeah, you'd self-censor.
Precisely. So surveillance doesn't just harm the individual. It kind of erodes the health of the whole society. It stifles creativity, dissent, the very things democracy needs.
So the value is clear. What about the legal side? How is privacy actually protected?
Well, legally, Wax points out, it's almost universally recognized in principle. It's in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 12. It's in the European Convention on Human Rights, Article 8. The idea is there.
But having the idea and making it work are different things.
Absolutely. He outlines the sort of three-pronged defense lawyers use. First, there's constitutional protection in many countries. Second, tort law.
Tort law, like suing someone.
Yeah, exactly. For things like intrusion upon seclusion. Basically, someone aggressively invading your private space, physically or otherwise, you can actually take legal action.
Okay. And the third?
That's the most modern layer, statutory regulation. Think GDPR in Europe. That's huge. It sets down principles like data minimization. Only collect what you absolutely need.
Right. Not hoovering everything up just in case.
Exactly. And purpose limitation. If you collect data for reason A, you can't just secretly use it for reason B later on.
So we have these legal tools.
Hmm.
But Wax then talks about the forces pushing back, right? The dragons.
The dragons of the digital age undermining these protections. First up, Big Brother. The state.
Surveillance cameras, communications, interception.
All of it. CCTV, yes, but also the massive digital stuff. Remember Edward Snowden?
Mm-hmm.
Prism. Temper programs revealing huge untargeted government interception of global data flows.
Chilling stuff.
And the conflict Wax highlights is always national security versus proportionality and oversight.
Mm-hmm.
Is this level of intrusion really necessary? Is it proportion to the threat? Is there enough independent oversight? These are the crucial questions.
Okay, dragon number one, the state. Who's next?
Dragon number two, the media, the press. Here, the tension is between Article 8, privacy, and Article 10, freedom of expression.
The public's right to know versus the individual's right to privacy.
Exactly. And Wax makes a critical distinction. The media often confuses what is genuinely in the public interest, something society actually needs to know for democratic reasons, with what is simply interesting to the public. Salacious gossip, basically.
That's a fine line, though, isn't it? How do we draw it, especially now with social media, where everything spreads instantly?
It's a hard line. Wax uses legal cases, like the Max Mosley case in the UK, as examples. The court basically said, look, even public figures have a right to a private life,
yeah,
especially concerning intimate details. Just because people are curious doesn't make intrusion justifiable.
So the courts have to weigh dignity against, well, sensationalism.
Right. It requires active balancing. Okay, so state, media, the third dragon.
This feels like the big one today. Big tech and cyberspace.
It's pervasive. Wax calls the business model of companies like Google, Meta, and others surveillance capitalism.
Explain.
The basic deal is we get free services, search, social media, email, and in return, these companies collect vast amounts of our personal data, analyze it, and monetize it, mostly through targeted advertising.
The Faustian bargain, he calls it?
Yes, the Faustian bargain of the internet. We get incredible convenience and connection almost instantly. But the price we pay, often without fully realizing it, is the steady erosion of our control, our autonomy.
And this threat isn't just Facebook or Google, right? It's bigger.
Oh, much bigger. Think about the hidden industry of data brokers, companies you've never heard of, buying, selling, packaging profiles about you. Think about the permanence of your digital footprint, things you posted years ago.
Yeah, that's scary.
And then there's the whole Internet of Things, your smart speaker listening, your connected fridge tracking habits,
yeah,
all collecting intimate data from inside your home.
And we saw how this data can be used, like with Cambridge Analytica.
Exactly. That was a wake-up call for many, showing how this harvested data can be weaponized to influence behavior, even potentially undermine democratic processes. It's serious.
Okay, wow. That's a lot to take in. State, media, tech. So how do we navigate this? Wax must offer some core takeaways, right?
He does. Let's distill maybe three key themes that really help make sense of it all.
Theme one.
Privacy is contextual and relational. It's not a single fixed thing. Your expectation of privacy changes depending on where you are, who you're with, what information you're sharing.
Right, like what you tell your doctor versus what you post online.
Precisely. So think about it. Do you treat info in a private, encrypted chat the same as a public tweet? Wax says our understanding needs to reflect that nuance. It's not all or nothing.
Makes sense. Theme two,
the inevitable tension. Privacy is always going to clash with other important values. Security, transparency, efficiency, they often pull in the opposite direction.
So it's always a trade-off.
It often involves negotiation. And Wax stresses the principle of proportionality. If privacy is infringed upon, say, for national security, that infringement must be truly necessary, justified, and as limited as possible. It can't be a blank check.
Got it. And the third theme?
Theme three, the limits of legal protection. This is sobering but important. Law. Well, it moves slowly. Technology moves incredibly fast.
So the law is always playing catch up.
Pretty much. By the time rules are made for one type of invasive tech, there are two new ones on the market. So think about this. Wax argues that relying solely on specific tech-based rules is fragile. What we need are strong principles grounded in enduring values like human dignity. Those last longer than any single technology.
Principles over prescriptive rules. Interesting. Wax seems to crystallize these big ideas really well. Are there any standout quotes or core ideas that stick with you?
Oh, definitely. He has a way of cutting through the noise. One is that powerful reframing we talked about. Privacy is not about having something to hide. It is about preserving something valuable.
Yeah, that flips the script entirely. It's about protecting potential, not just secrets.
Exactly. Another crucial one challenges the idea that technology just happens to us. Technology is not destiny. The privacy implications of new technologies depend on the choices we make about their design, deployment, and governance.
So it puts the responsibility back on us, designers, users, lawmakers.
Yes, it rejects technological determinism.
Yeah.
We have agency. We make choices about how tech shapes our world.
And a final key idea.
Maybe his ultimate warning about the societal stakes, paraphrasing a bit. But the core is, a society without privacy is a society that cannot tolerate dissent, creativity, or individuality.
Wow. That really lays bare what's at risk. It's not just personal data. It's the kind of society we want to live in.
Precisely.
Okay, this is all fascinating, but potentially overwhelming. Does Wax offer practical steps? How can we apply these ideas in real life?
Yes, absolutely. He moves from the philosophical and legal to the practical. First, he stresses personal digital hygiene.
Meaning
taking active steps yourself. Don't just be passive. Use privacy-enhancing tools, things like VPNs, encrypted messaging apps like Signal, privacy-focused search engines like DuckDuckGo. It takes a little effort, but it makes a difference. You're defending your own asset.
So be an active agent, not just a victim.
Exactly. And then for people working in tech or business, he champions the idea of privacy by design.
Build it in from the start.
Yes. Don't wait for a data breach or a massive fine and then try to patch the privacy holes. Build the product or service with data protection baked in from the very first line of code. It's an ethical commitment, not just a compliance checkbox.
That makes so much sense. Build it right the first time.
And finally, civic action. Wax work is really an argument against apathy. It gives you the intellectual tools to look critically at new surveillance laws or tech deployments. Ask the hard questions. Is this necessary? Is there oversight? Don't just accept it.
So it empowers you to participate in the debate.
Definitely.
Okay, as we wrap up, what's the single biggest takeaway or final thought Wax leaves us with?
For me, it's the idea that this struggle for privacy is ongoing. It requires constant vigilance. And crucially, privacy isn't just an individual concern. It's a collective social good. Because when we casually give away our data, thinking it only affects us, we're actually helping to build and strengthen that very infrastructure of surveillance that ultimately diminishes freedom and dignity for everyone.
Mm.
Our small choices have big collective consequences.
That's powerful. The thing that really stuck with me actually builds on that. It's the realization of how much power Wax implicitly gives back to us, the individuals. The slightly shocking part is realizing that we, through our clicks, our acceptance of terms and conditions, our desire for convenience, we are actively, if often unknowingly, contributing to the surveillance system. Understanding that our everyday actions build this thing, that feels like the first necessary step towards maybe starting to dismantle it or at least reshaping it.
I agree. It forces that shift, doesn't it?
Yeah.
From seeing privacy as this passive shield we hope someone else provides to seeing it as an active muscle we constantly need to exercise and defend, both individually and collectively.
A continuous effort. See you next time with another remarkable thinker. Another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.